You're listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Katie. We're librarians at the Central Library.
Although for now, we're continuing to follow the governor's stay-at-home order, and we are recording remotely.
That's right. Yep. So while JMRL's physical locations are still closed, we're once again inviting our colleagues to tell us what they've been reading.
Hopefully, this will help you find downloadable audiobooks and ebooks to enjoy while JMRL is closed. But before we get to those reading recommendations, we've got book chat. All right, book chat. Katie, what did you read?
Yeah, so I read a book by Minnie Dark. It's called Starcrossed. I mean, it's a really fun and light romantic comedy. I figured now is a good time to read something, you know, light and
definitely.
Yeah, a bit of escapism considering what's going on in the world. So this was a perfect fit for that. So this book, it takes place in Australia. So again, somewhere nice and warm and good place to escape right now. And it focuses on two childhood sweethearts, and their names are Justine and Nick. And, you know, they grew up together about like 9 months apart. So they go to school together. But then when they turn 15, one of their families has to move away across the country. And so they don't see each other for years and years. And then the story picks up about 12 years later. And Justine and Nick are in their late 20s. And Justine's working in a magazine, and she bumps into Nick at the downtown market area. And she at this time is writing for a magazine that includes a horoscope column that they have a well-respected, well-renowned astrologist has been writing these horoscopes for years and years.
Love it.
Yeah. So I thought of you as soon as I saw that. And so she doesn't really believe in astrology and the signs and things like that. But when she bumps into Nick and they get talking about, you know, what they've been doing with their lives, she realizes that Nick is, he's like a devoted reader of this column. And he's also like an aspiring and struggling actor at the time. When she bumps into him at this market, he's wearing a fish costume. He's kind of advertising for this fish business at the market. And so what Justine does is she uses her connections at the magazine to kind of change the horoscopes. So Nick's sign is, what is he? He's Aquarius. And so she just manipulates it a little bit to get him he's almost giving up on his acting career, but she doesn't want him to give in to that. So she puts in like Shakespeare quotes and things like that to kind of convince him to audition.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then she also realizes that, you know, she hasn't seen him for years and years, but she still has feelings for him. So kind of, you know, playing a little bit of a Cupid at the same time with it. But I think the real charm of the novel is that really Nick isn't the only one that reads this horoscope column. And so what we get are little vignettes of secondary characters and how they interpret the horoscope that Justine has changed. And it kind of has this like domino effect. And all these stories become intertwined in a way. It kind of reminds me of Love Actually and those kind of romantic comedies. So it's a really fun and cute read. You know, goes on about chance and fate and how much control do we really have. So it was just, you know, a really fun read for the time.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds perfect for the current moment.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to add that one to my to read list as well. I think that I had seen that it's on Overdrive, right?
Yes. Yeah, so there's...
I think I'd seen it on there and been like, do I check it out now or do I wait? So good to have the official recommendation.
Yep, it's there. Yeah, there's audiobook and ebook available, and I recommend the audiobook because there's an Australian actress that reads it, and so you really get the whole experience, I thought. So it was really well done.
Excellent. I also listened to an audiobook. Mine was not quite as lighthearted. I listened to Between Before and After by Maureen Doyle McQuarrie. And this is a young adult novel. It's a historical fiction. and it's told in dueling perspectives by Molly, who was a teen in the 1950s, and her mother Elaine when she was young. And Elaine's story begins with the death of her mother and baby sister during the 1918 flu pandemic. So you could you probably guess what piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
There have been other pandemics, and I just wanted a little touch of that. I will say that kind of fear around the pandemic only lasts for very little of Elaine's story before hers turns more toward just kind of an exploration of her resiliency in the face of all these hardships and her ability to foster and grow a relationship with her younger brother, despite sort of that very tragic and traumatic start to her story. And then her daughter's story, she starts off by, you know, her father has just left, so she's trying to adjust to just being the daughter of a newly single mother who is also struggling with that change. And so she's trying to strengthen her own relationship with her mom because it's never been, you know, what she wanted it to be. And her way of doing this is to try to understand family secrets. And so as she is trying to learn family secrets, you're really kind of learning them right along with her as you read her mother's story from when she was a young person. And I am a very nosy person, so I love reading family secrets, even when they're fictional. So anyone else who's really into that, I would recommend this. You see that mother-daughter relationship, sibling relationships, just sort of all of that. It's really well done. I highly recommend.
Ah, oh, sounds like it. Yeah, I'm always looking for a good YA historical fiction too.
Well, so let me recommend this one to you.
This is Nina Wright, the branch assistant at the Greene County Library. I just listened to the best book. The title is Once Upon a River by Diane Setterfield, published in 2018. This tale is of a small English town on the River Thames. It weaves magic, suspense, science, local folklore, and an actual historical figure into a mystery that unfolds beautifully. A young child is discovered in the river. Which family does she belong to? Will she reveal her past? Is she from another realm? Find out by reading Once Upon a River. I suggest you listen or read Hank the Cow Dog. It's part of a series by John Erickson. Hank is a dog, but he thinks he is head of security on his ranch in Texas. His interplay with his humans and his fellow animals in all their misadventures makes this series classic. I listened to this first on a road trip to Maine with my little kids and my older parents, and we all laughed all the way up 95. Read this series or listen to it and enjoy. I just read The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson, published in 2019. This owner's manual is not Bryson's typical witty tome. However, this interesting guidebook is not a biology textbook either. As a former healthcare practitioner, I found this book informative, full of interesting new factoids, and totally readable. If you want to learn something about your own body's biological systems, read this entertaining book. Enjoy. I just read the best book. It's called Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell, published in 2019. If you don't know Malcolm Gladwell, he's one of the 100 Times Most Influential People list. This is a nonfiction, a bit of a departure from his norm. Everything from Janelle Monáe's Anthem on, this book has been disagreeable to some critics, but read by millions. It's about sad misunderstandings we have with one another, described in cases of rape, police violence, and other scenarios. It brings it all home to me, how we misunderstand each other. I listened to this book, read by the author, with my entire family in a car on a road trip. Read this book. Say their name.
Hi, my name is Tish. I work part-time at the Gordon Avenue Library. The book I want to recommend is Anne Griffin's debut novel, already an international bestseller and indie next pick, entitled When All Is Said. It's available as an audiobook in Libby. I read the hard copy, so my comments will be geared toward that version. I always love a good Irish novel, and this one sure delivers. It's the retrospective story of an older man's life as he dedicates drinks to important people via heartfelt toasts. Maurice Hannigan has experienced profound ups and downs, and the reader feels each of these circumstances deeply as he unravels his life's journey. I enjoyed everything about this book, especially the melancholy yet hopeful tone. I can't wait for Anne Griffin's next novel. I bet you'll feel the same. Enjoy! The book I want to recommend is entitled Miracle Creek by Angie Kim, and it's available as an ebook in Libby. As an office volunteer for the Virginia Festival of the Book, I was introduced to their reading circle. Reading circle participants read potential picks for the Virginia Festival of the Book, and I was lucky enough to get to read Miracle Creek. The book was ultimately selected for participation in this year's canceled festival. Ms. Kim's debut book is a literary thriller. I don't typically read thrillers, so I was a bit unsure whether I would like it. I was not disappointed. The story has many twists and turns as it details complex family relationships and a horrible accident. The author is a former trial lawyer, and she uses her expertise in many intricate courtroom scenes. This is a fantastic book to get lost in. Enjoy!
This is Michelle Eric. I'm the Young Adult Specialist at the Greene County Library. I'm going to talk about the young adult novel in verse, The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo, which is available on Overdrive and Freeding. Mira muchacha is mommy's favorite way to start a sentence, and I know I've already done something wrong when she hits me with, look girl. This time it's, mira muchacha, Marina from across the street told me you were on the stoop again talking to los vendedores. Like usual, I bite my tongue and don't correct her, because I hadn't been talking to the drug dealers. They'd been talking to me. But she says she doesn't want any conversation between me and those boys, or any boys at all. And she better not hear about me hanging out like a wet shirt on a clothesline, just waiting to be worn, or she would go ahead and be the one to wring my neck. Oyste? She asks, but walks away before I can answer. Sometimes I want to tell her the only person in this house who isn't heard is me. Harlem teen Xiaomara Batista writes her poetry for herself. She writes it to help her sort through her feelings about her changing body, her twin brother, her overprotective religious mother, her priest, and Amon, the boy she met in biology class that her mother would never approve of. Her poems give her strength and an opportunity to speak her truth. The poems she turns into her English teacher, Ms. Galeano, are more careful, edited versions of her voice. Still, Ms. Galeano sees something in Xiaomara and encourages her to join the school poetry club and read her work at a poetry slam. Can Xiaomara find the courage to be herself instead of the perfect, pious, Dominican-American girl her mother expects her to be? Fans of Jason Reynolds, Kwame Alexander and Meg Medina will enjoy The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo.
Hello, JMRL patrons. My name is Nancy and I work at the Crozet Library and Branch Support. I'd like to share the book Bat and the Waiting Game by Alana K. Arnold. Would you know how to take care of a wild baby animal? This is a story not only about a baby skunk, but about friendship. Bat, also known as Bixby Alexander Tam, loves animals and is somewhat different from other kids his age. Bat has difficulty relating well to other people, and sometimes he has to count on his best friend Israel to help him with that. Bat doesn't always know what to do or say in certain situations. He doesn't like to apologize, and he doesn't like to look people in the eye. Janie, Bat's older sister, has many friends and is well-liked at school. She also has a terrific singing voice and wants a part in the school play. Bat, like many of us, doesn't always make good decisions. You'll have to read the book to find out what causes a huge stir when Bat makes the wrong decision. I loved this book. It's both funny and sweet, and I learned a lot about skunks. If you like it, there are more books about Bat.
Hi, I'm Camille Thompson, the branch manager at the Gordon Avenue Library. I'm going to tell you about We Ride Upon Sticks by Quan Berry. The 1989 Danvers, Massachusetts field hockey team is tired of losing. What better way to ensure victory than making a pact with the dark side? The tools of their coven, an old blue tube sock, a notebook with Emilio Estevez on the cover, and an appetite for mayhem. This book is at once hilarious, thoughtful, and full of 80s pop culture fabulousness. It touches on issues of gender and race, but it kept me laughing with delight on pretty much every page. One of my favorite characters is the huge 80s-style bangs on one character named The Claw. The Claw can communicate telepathically with the rest of the coven and has its own character arc throughout the story. This book is available as a Libby e-audiobook and a Libby ebook.
Another big thank you to our wonderful colleagues for sharing their time with us to talk about what they've been reading. I know my to-read list is quickly growing with each recommendation.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mine too. So as we mentioned on the last episode, April is National Poetry Month. We've extended the deadline for a poetry contest so that you can enter submissions through the end of the month. We're also planning a special Poem in Your Pocket Day episode, so stay tuned for that in a couple of weeks.
As of the time of this recording, all JMRL physical locations on the bookmobile are closed until further notice. In order to comply with the governor's stay-at-home order, we are asking that you keep all JMRL materials at home until we reopen. All due dates will be adjusted and nothing will come due until at least 2 weeks after we open our doors.
We'd like to remind you that Wi-Fi is still on at every branch, and we've boosted the signal where possible to make it easy to use from the parking lot. We will once again include links in our show notes to two frequently updated pages related to the COVID-19 outbreak, one of which includes a long list of freely available online resources.
This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org.
And please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to the podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more content. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be
on the same page.